What is happening?
That was Wade slurping.
That is exactly what's
I'm in
happening.
California. It wasn't what you think it was. No.
What, a flood coming in?
Oh, no. I thought it sounded like a bong rip, but I won't
Oh,
say
it
that online.
did. You're right. Thank you
Come
for
on.
bringing us onto that drugs topic that we
Yeah.
never end up on.
18 seconds in, first drug reference.
For those chalking
Oh,
to
great.
those with bingo cards, fill out the drugs box. It is now checked off.
Oh.
Is that the free space in the middle?
No,
I
the free
don't know.
space in the middle is rant.
Gold.
Rant.
Oh, rant.
Rant.
The free space, because like we will rant.
Yeah, that's a
We are.
guaranteed easy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like that's it. Yeah, so it's the free space.
There's a lot of rants.
Look at that guy. She got a fan.
Oh,
Brian's missed you.
hey. Hey, Brian.
They're live.
I was on
Bongers.
last Wednesday. We were chatting. Anyways.
Well, that was
He has
the
a
private
very
channel.
short-term memory.
Yeah.
And IU missed you.
Some good articles this
Oh,
week.
anyways, over there.
We know why Sisa hated Avanti so much now, too.
Yeah.
Do we really
Yeah.
know, though? Or is there more?
Is anybody
There's got to be
surprised?
more.
They're holding back.
Let me get the camera control for when we talk about Avanti.
But
Don't
wait,
want to talk about it
actually
anymore.
leaving
Still got
Black
2
Hills. I'm going to
minutes.
go work as the CISO of Avanti.
Ooh, bon. Do, 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 do.
You want to?
Hello,
No.
darkness, my old friend.
Or
I hear
what's
they have job openings.
You really want
No.
to just take a challenge and
That's the worst part. They don't.
I'm too happy in my career. I'd like to go somewhere where I'm just hated by all parties.
Yeah.
Why?
Just go work like Risk or something, because like
Risk, the game where you roll dice and everyone takes Australia as a tactical advantage?
Is Australia tactical? Oh yeah, I
Yeah,
guess it
because
is.
it's in the corner, you know? It's
It
like
is a tactical advantage, but it's also not worth that many points, so it's kind of useless. It's like the person who
Yeah,
decides to start in Australia quickly realizes it was a mistake.
but
It's like technically a continent, but not very tactical.
yeah.
Because once you get Australia, then you can start making your play for Asia, and that's just usually where you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That always
exactly.
works.
Something, something, starting a land war in Asia. I don't know.
I'm a big South America starter, to the
Big
truth.
continent.
First story for the day.
Well, John just jumps right in. Hi, John. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
We haven't
That
rolled the finger yet, John.
is
Oh,
not
cool.
one of the stories
Oh.
I read.
This
I was
one's
like, wait,
great.
I'm not prepped for this one.
It's easy.
Never.
Just imagine all the debauchery and horribleness of any InfoSec community.
It
And
says
now make it
culture
that you have.
fueled by influence,
If
alcohol, and sex.
you just
Yeah.
showed me this picture, I would say that this is like a grow house in China.
Is influence as fun
You
as
would need
alcohol and
it.
sex, though?
Dude, shh. Keep all of that good shit for the show after the finger, Wade.
That's when you should have dropped this on us.
I want to know,
Watch it
John,
live.
where you found this because is your
It was
homepage
on
still
MSN.
MSN? Is it still
MSN.
MSN? Is that your homepage still? That's what I wanted
Yeah,
to
he
know.
opens up Edge, and this is what
I
shows
guess,
us.
yeah,
John is the
you know,
default Windows
open up
user at
Edge.
heart.
This pops up. This is like, is this relevant to your interests? Very well done, MSN bot. Very well indeed.
Microsoft is on
Cortana,
to
what's the
you.
news?
Yeah, Cortana, can you just do this show for me? That would be awesome.
I'm still talking to Clippy. You guys are way ahead of me.
Can we
I
make
don't believe you
Clippy?
mirrored Ralph. I don't trust mirrored Ralph. I don't like
Can we
this
make
side of you.
Clippy like the official like spirit creature of the news? I thought
I
Clippy
thought
changed her
Clippy,
name to
it's got to be some type
Copilot.
of
I
ransomware
see you're
version of
trying to have
Clippy.
private data. Can I help you with that?
Yeah. I know a Russian threat actor who would like to share it with you.
So I got an opportunity. I was teaching a class and I taught it, and the dude that make the deciding vote at Microsoft to kill Mr. Clippy was in my class once in San
Oh,
Diego.
what a monster.
And I have a
Oh
picture of
boy.
me with him.
Clippy?
Yeah.
Of
I've
course.
got to
Did
see
he
if I can find it
recommend
again.
switching to Bonzi Buddy or what?
Let's see, buddy.
Hey, where's the finger? Why aren't we
We're
doing the
not there
show? What
yet.
is
We're
happening?
not there
We're
yet.
going
We
to
haven't talked
share.
about news. We're
We
talking
have a
about Clippy
very
photo.
specific timeline. All right, let the man work.
When does this th what when wh who am I? Did we
We're
lose
two
an
minutes
hour on the
late.
show? Wait, no, maybe we lost an hour. It's daylight savings news.
This show is an extra hour long today.
It's going to be 2 hours today, guys. Get ready for a lot more ranting.
An hour of pre-show banter and then an hour of rant, I guess.
So many rants.
I think he's looking
good one to show for.
Let's do it.
John's Googling how to disable MSN.
It's the default, guys. You can't disable it.
All right, here we go.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Black Hills Information Security Talking About News. I am John Strand, and I'm joined by a whole bunch of other people who hopefully will be popping up here. We've got, I know him, he's me. We've got Shecky, Mike. We've got Florida Man is back. I missed Florida Man. We have Wade's mustache, and behind Wade's mustache is Wade. Kelly, seems like I just saw you, like 16 hours ago. We'll always have Vegas, Kelly. And then we have Josh is with us. Thank you for joining us. And then, as always, Ryan is on as well.
He wasn't here last week.
Almost always, right? Last week,
he was here on vacation.
He was in spirit. You know,
he was here in spirit. So, God, why do we do this show on Mondays? Like, Mondays is Black Hills Information Security's wall-to-wall meeting day.
Every hour.
And we are raw at the end of this. We're just like, I don't really want to talk to you all or anybody anymore. I just want to crawl
That's what
up
makes this floor. Show That's all, so yeah, good, like, though, is it, that exactly. We're all out of it.
No, that Black Hills Information Security, they seem like a bunch of people that are strung out and have been in meetings all day.
Oh, we already covered drugs earlier, John.
Yeah. We did cover drugs. Missed it. Awesome. Yeah.
The 18 awesome. Seconds
there's
in.
There's no need to cover drugs or cannibalism because we have that pretty
let's,
much
covered. Let's talk about Chinese hackers.
Let's talk about Chinese hackers. Yeah, I love this story. And I know that for many of you that are joining this show, you think the obvious thing is CISA. We're going to get to CISA, trust me. But we got to have an appetizer. And that appetizer happens to be an upscale karaoke bar in Beijing where they have lots of drugs. So this is an article that came out from MSN, and they were talking about what, you know, the Chinese hacking companies look like. And there was a bunch of data from this company, iSoon, that was released publicly, emails, bunch of different documents about what it is like to be a computer security company in China. And honestly, as I was reading through this, you all, they're like, you know, they're out all night, they're drinking, they're doing drugs, they're doing really crappy work for the government. And the government's like, your work is crappy, but it's getting done. I guess we'll stick with it. And I couldn't help but think through this entire article, just like how much this sounds like every major security company in America. Like if especially in like the mid to late 2000s where this, it was just awash with VC money and cocaine.
It feels like they got the play out of John McAfee's playbook. Like it legit, did. Like, it sounds right? like
all they're missing is bath salts and like handguns. Which I'm sure if we dug deep enough, we'd find.
That's in here.
Oh, they got bath salts and handgun? That's awesome.
So okay, hold on. My question, okay, so one interesting thing is it's talking about how like hacking is patriotic and they're really drinking that in. So I guess I'm like, is that like how do we get a version of that? Can we have like bald eagles in our offices now? Or like what should we do?
You sure can. You can go America. I have no problem with that. Display your pride. But if you actually read this article, they talk about how hacking is patriotic, but it's all bullshit because they're basically in it for the money. What? The money. What? And that's all that they're looking for is just how much money and how many drugs and how many girls are involved in the situation. So it really is truly a lot like John McAfee. Like literally the soul of John McAfee is not dead. It's burning bright in Beijing right now. But yeah, some of the things that I like in here, they're like red hackers. Where's the quote? There are many technology enthusiasts in China, but there are very few enlightened people. And the point behind that is they don't have a lot of like hardcore hackers, but they do have a lot of hackers in here.
They also hate HR, so that's universal.
Yeah, they don't like HR apparently either.
I like part of the article that they talk about. They were given access to 0 days. It's kind of like when you get swag at a conference. Here's a t-shirt. Here's a 0 day.
Yeah, here's can we just day. Hand those out? Here's a thumb drive. Definitely has some 0 days on it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's just like all of these things, like the iTunes executives paid introduction fees for lucrative contracts chat show, including tens of thousands of RMB or thousands of dollars to a man who landed them a $40,000 contract with the police in Hebei province. To sweeten the deal, iTunes chief operating officer Shen Chang suggested arranging the man a drinking and karaoke session with women. He likes to touch girls. Once again, this sounds like every VC started software security company in the early, like, mid-2000s, probably even now. I just haven't spent much time at DEF CON and Black Hat to really get to see if it's that bad. But it just seems so American to me.
Yeah. I mean, I've been warned. We should maybe just, should we make a fake chat and then leak it to the public, John? So it's just like us talking about like unicorns and rainbows, and then we'll just leak that data. We'll be like, yeah, working for John Strand doesn't involve drinking any Kool-Aid at all. That'll be a chat from CJ. And then, yeah, we'll just pretend to, I mean, is there any chance they did this on purpose? I assume not.
No, some of this stuff was so bad and so like it doesn't make iSoon look good at all. Especially if you get down to the bottom of it, where it basically is talking about the government basically came to them and said, hey, you guys kind of suck, but you're getting the job done, but poorly. So we'll continue paying you. Here's what somebody in the government said for iSoon. They said, speaking of the work of iSoon, it said, it's a little sloppy. The tools are not that impressive, but the Ministry of Public Safety sees that you get the job done. They will hire whoever can get the job done.
Oh my gosh.
Which, once again, wins. Yeah, it sounds a little bitter there. But I don't know what I would have expected. I mean, this is one of those things that we've talked about with some of our customers, where in China, you know, you don't necessarily have government hackers per se. You have security companies that are actually doing security services, but at the exact same time, they're working for the government. And also the way that this kind of breaks it down, if you kind of read between the lines and actually go through some of the articles and you start feeding them through Google Translate because you have nothing better to do, there is a shit ton of hacking going on intergovernmental within China. So you have power factions in China that aren't just like, you know, us versus the United States, if we're the Chinese, they're constantly hacking each other to get information for different provinces, different police stations, and very, very large cities, using that information against people to get better deals. So there is a ton of inter-Chinese hacking. And I think for me, going through the documents, that was the most shocking thing for me.
If we get drafted into cyber war, I at least want a karaoke bar.
I think we should have a karaoke bar. That can be done.
Yeah, that can be done.
And we've got a mechanical bull already in
if
play.
If only we already had this.
I know. What the hell would they say about us? Or like, you know, U.S. hacking firm has mechanical bulls and runs like a cult, apparently.
Invades tiny town once a year. I think we can run with that. That prompt to an AI would get us 90% of the way there.
Probably get us most of the way there as well. All right. So I wanted to start with that one because I thought it was lighthearted. And if you're from iSoon, I meant everything I said. You sound like every other security company in America. Don't feel bad that you got hacked. Happens to the best of us, iSoon. Just hang in there.
Also, we have mechanical bulls and karaoke bar.
We do have mechanical bulls and karaoke bars. So the next story I want to talk about is the CISA hack. One of you all, and I don't remember who said it, was making a joke after CISA was basically saying, hey, unplug if you can't patch. Somebody made a joke, and I don't know if it was before or after we were recording, that they were like, wouldn't it be funny if CISA got hacked through that exact same vulnerability? And that kind of happened. So I don't know if this goes under the whole, you know, do as I say, not as I do, or if it's basically, you know, those VPNs were getting compromised and the attackers got in before they actually got them patched. I think that was the story last week where Avanti, they were like, yeah, you can patch, but if the attackers are already on your system, they're already on your system. And I can't get a timeline for CISA getting compromised through their Avanti appliance as to whether or not it happened after the patch was released or before.
Well, they also haven't given any info about what was accessed, I feel like this is kind of a PR disaster because I think they released this intentionally to try to sound like we're drinking our own Kool-Aid and following our own advice. But what it sounds like is We're not going to give you any details on what was taken, if anything, when it happened, if any. So they're just like, hey, we got hacked. No further comment.
It reads really bad. It reads like every single bad like company that gets compromised and doesn't share information properly and is like, look away, citizen. There's nothing to see here, you plebe. And that hurts a little.
So can we get a job posting for HR at
Yeah, can we get a job or, posting?
Sorry, no, PR, not HR. HR is already posting. Fired everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But, you know, the thing that concerns me about it is where it says that the systems that were compromised are the private sector chemical security plans. That does make me tremble a little.
Yeah, it's not like it's inconsequential, but that's, no, Kelly, I think that's part of it that bothers me about it. Like, just that alone scares me. You should tell me some more things to make me feel better about everything, Sissa. Anything? No.
We caught it. That's
yeah, we caught it. Yeah.
We got him.
So no one's got anything else to add to that. No.
This article's a dead end. I mean, I guess... No, it's good that they're following really their own advice, at least. Just... Like, I know it looks bad to just be like, we were hacked. Plebes, don't ask any more questions. Thank you. But at least they are. I mean, at least it's not like, you know, Lockbit being like, we hacked SZA. Well, like, I don't know.
Oh, that's a good point. And then they go to the SEC. It's like, SZA may not be traded on the stock exchange, but we thought we should report it to somebody somewhere.
Then it's going to be like China, where the agencies are hacking each other, trying to expose their dirty laundry. It's going to be like, why is the SEC IP range hitting us so hard? Oh, well, they're checking if you actually patched.
Honestly, so can we speculate?
I have to wonder if their edict to everybody else in the government to get rid of the stuff was based on the
fact they could have done that, right? They could have said, hey, we got compromised with this, and just, you know, from what we have learned in this breach, kind of like the way Mandiant, when they got compromised a while ago with SolarWinds, where they're like, we got hacked, here's how we got hacked, share this information, it's a much larger thing. That would have been helpful. That's why I kind of lean towards that's not what happened here. Like, seriously, someone at CISA is in big, big, big trouble.
Right, they probably listened to the news and realized they should go back and see if they got hacked, just like we were talking about. And they're like, oh, wait, Wade was
they're
right.
Probably like, oh, we're not going to let those idiots on BHIS talking about it. Go, oh, shit.
I was going to say, if CISA listens to the show.
Oh, gosh, it's us, too. Oh, golly.
If anyone were to sponsor us.
It's a giant government organization. Like, the DoD has some amazing hackers, and yet when I was running cybersecurity for Hurlburt Field, we also just had like 18-year-olds who knew the tools that we taught them. So you can do amazing stuff, but how your system is run and how your system, the people who are operating on it, might still be like GS3s and
might still be. When I was teaching down at Hurlburt, 75% of my class were people that were like 19-year-olds that could barely drink. They were drinking, by the way, heavily every night.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, they were doing the class during the day.
They were patriotic. That's just American.
But no, I hear you completely. And I think that gets into the problem with the government of keeping and retaining talent, not just DOD. But, you know, a lot of these people, whether it's NSA, whether it's CISA, whether it's the Air Force, whether it's the Army or whatever it is, you're going to run into situations constantly where as soon as somebody gets pretty good and they got pretty good like certs underneath them, and all of a sudden they get that good six-figure job that they can do, they're going to bail very quickly.
It's the same thing we saw at China, right? You have to play to their patriotism. That's the only way that you can really keep those jobs.
Yeah, and I just want to call out that Hurlburt Field, Destin Beach has some of the best Thai restaurants I've ever had in my entire life. They're amazing. There's that Thai buffet. It's about 6 miles or 4 or 5 miles from the gate. It's a buffet. Oh, I love that place. It's amazing.
In other news, the CIA is hiring. They are legitimately, go ahead, check for cyber specifically.
Well, let's bring up the story. Go ahead, Ralph. Bring it.
Did they waive the requirement to be zero marijuana?
Zero. I have no idea.
But just so you know, that's something that they always say, but I had a pot conviction and I got like crazy high clearance. I mean, it's something I think that they
crazy do. High.
The leak chats for VHIS come out. The leak chats are out. John Strand loves that? Partying.
That guy right there is the Cheech Marin of InfoSec. Hey, man.
Yeah. All right.
Mama talking to me, telling me, tried to tell me how to live. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. But I don't listen to her because my head is like a sieve. All right. Yes. There goes my clearance now.
Yeah. I feel bad for John because he doesn't have a boss to complain about in his music. So
no,
like,
you I don't. Know, no.
Yeah. No. Maybe just.
I'm still stuck bitching about my father. It's the same shit I was writing about when I was 16 years old. So it's fine.
That's so good. That's fair game.
You think you'd grow, but you don't.
No one wants the music to change.
Ralph, before
we get all excited, I didn't have a CIA story. I literally was on LinkedIn and saw a advertisement for that.
I see how it is. You're looking for jobs at the government. LinkedIn. How bad is it?
And I was curious what the positions like that they had, and it was just a huge list of tons of cybersecurity jobs, right? Like, you know, specifically like what they were looking for. And I thought that was just kind of interesting. And, you know, it's kind of apropos to some of the other news articles that we have even today, especially Microsoft and other things.
You're saying they're eating up all the big tech layoffs?
Yeah, no, probably.
They could be. All I'm saying is that there is a lot of threat out right there on the general, like, global space, right? Mm-hmm. And from a cybersecurity standpoint, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't be trying to get as much talent as possible.
See, what happened was the FBI director said that we're outnumbered 50-1, and all of a sudden, like, budgets are just money is flowing, dollar bills, y'all.
I don't know what budget you're talking about.
Jobs program. So did the Chinese, to iSoon and everybody in China, on behalf of the InfoSec community in America, thank you.
you're raising our pay one small hack at a time.
Okay, this might be a stupid question before we move on to another article, but where does the where does the CSA or CIA sit? Are they just like hacking Israel? What are they actually like? You have FBI presumably protecting Americans. You have NSA presumably.
CIA is all
smart. So NSA is predominantly dealing with different SIGINT. They may do some hacking, and they do some hacking operations, usually in conjunction with other armed forces. The CIA, it kind of goes to like the different goals of what they're after. So CIA is absolutely hacking foreign organizations, and they're doing it specifically from an intelligence perspective. You look at the NSA, is usually supporting on the ground military objectives. But yet, even with that being said, oftentimes the NSA will gain access to a system and they won't want to burn it because they're getting a lot of intel based on it as well. So there's a tremendous amount of overlap between the two. And I think that the cleanest way, if anyone wants to research this, is go look at the Vault breach and go look at shadow brokers. There was a lot of the exact same types of zero days, the exact same types of hacking tools, the exact same types of like ConOps and TTPs that were present. And I'm going to be honest with you, it is not super clean between the two at all. The where it does get a lot cleaner is whenever you start incorporating the FBI. The FBI is basically, they can do those types of operations against suspects in the United States with warrant, things of that nature as part of an investigation. They can't go outside of the United States, but even all of that, these organizations share information with each other all the time. Ralph, did you have something to add to that?
You're absolutely on the, you're absolutely right. And they're kind of, you know, their stage, right? And what they're attacking, they want as much intelligence, and they're absolutely doing cyber attacks as well on other foreign adversaries that are doing that to us, right? I mean, the Microsoft stuff is still going on. Speaking of foreign adversary attacks, right? There's a recent article about that Microsoft is still cleaning up the mess from the Russian attack, right? The Russian APT group. And that they still have access to things, and they're like finding out like right now, or, you know, it's not contained. That's what I'm trying to say, right? And
I just popped it up, Ryan, if you could bring up that story. Microsoft admits Russian, Russian state hack is still not contained. This has tremendous national security.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking too. Like, the national security concerns for this is huge. And additionally, anyone who might be affected, and there are right now, currently, according to Microsoft,
clients that they're like individually letting know that are part of their infrastructure that are affected, right? So it's like, I mean, what's going on over there?
Yeah, well, I heard they also give free pen tests to Lockbit. Oh, wait, no, sorry, that was the FBI. Yeah, I mean, so it sounds like it's exactly like the military, where it's like number one Air Force, U.S. Air Force, number two Air Force, U.S. Navy, number three Air Force, somehow also the U.S. Like, it's just like number one hacking, NSA, number two hacking, not this, the NSA, but it's still government funded.
I do want to go through this, and this gets into this one. This story is actually kind of crazy. Some quotes from it. The hackers from Russia's SVR, Foreign Intelligence Service, used data obtained in the intrusion, which it disclosed mid-January, to compromise some source code repositories and internal systems, the software giant said in a blog. But they didn't say exactly what source code. I want to circle back to that here in a couple of seconds. Another quote is, the threat actor's ongoing attack is characterized by sustained significant commitment of the threat actor's resources, coordination, and focus, Microsoft said on Friday, adding, it could be using obtained data to accumulate a picture of areas to attack and enhance its ability to do so. Now, if you remember years and years and years ago, there was always this absolute terrible thought of what happens if Microsoft's like source code for Windows was released. And yeah, I mean, that is somewhat of a scary thing, but also understand that Microsoft's software development lifecycle is probably, I'm not going to say probably, I'm going to say, in my opinion, it is the best SDLC of any of the large organizations that are out there. So the odds of you going through the source code of Microsoft and just finding a get S or gets function or a printf that's not using SN printf, that's, you know, still using ANSI C89 for compiler standards, is really, really going to be low, right? It's not something that you're going to look at. But if we're thinking of the Russians and we look back at SolarWind, they injected malicious code inside of that code. And I've been doing this a long time. And people were basically showing, like, you know, this is where the actual malware was put. I couldn't see it. And I talked to it. I think we even talked about it on the show. It was put in very, very, very well. So whenever you talk about somebody getting access to source code, I'm far less concerned these days about them getting access to source code, finding a vulnerability and exploiting that vulnerability than I am of them actually injecting malicious things inside of that source code, which we know that the Russians can do, they have done, and they've done it very well. I'm just concerned that Microsoft's coming out and saying, yep, this thing's still ongoing, everybody. And that's got me terrified. I wish that we could get, once again, some more information. I'm also want to ask everybody, they don't have any more information to add other than it is ongoing. What is their end state in trying to explain that they're still dealing with it? Do you think it's all for SEC? What is their logic behind saying, yep, it's ongoing. No, we're not giving you more details.
That makes sense. Otherwise, why would they tell us? Like, there's no real good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's going to be some outages or something because they're like, oh, we needed to flip this switch to be more secure. Is because of that. It's ongoing. But that would be my next biggest bet. But that sounds ridiculous.
Could be. Sloth Boy, I want to call out Sloth Boy real quick. Just to put this out there, I don't think Microsoft email source code was the end goal. Microsoft does a lot of stuff that adversaries are probably more interested in from an Intel perspective, like specifically working with the U.S. Marshals Technical Operations Group. Taking down different nation state, non-nation state hacking groups. I think Sloth Boy, I think that's a really, really good point. So go ahead. Somebody else is saying something. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Part of my thinking on that, for, as far as Microsoft letting people and letting the public know, is possibly to get ahead of potential patches that could be coming out to remove said code that you were talking about. They've inputted the code. Microsoft's been starting to find this code that they're putting into the Windows source code and the patching on it. We all know how patch cycles work. Maybe this is something to go ahead and try and prepare people for saying, hey, listen, we've been hacked. Our source code's been grabbed. These patches might be needed a little bit faster than you would normally think. And that's my only thought as far as why Microsoft would say it without saying much else beyond that.
Are they maybe trying to get away with, well, not get away with, but fulfill their SEC obligations by telling people we've got an ongoing thing and we're working through it, but
they already claimed, they don't want to breach, obviously, right?
Disclose too much.
They've already claimed it, right?
Yeah, they don't have to continue it if they're still under IR, or at least what's it called? After investigation and when you're cleaning up. There's probably an official term that I'm...
Ben from KC said they wanted to stay ahead of Lockbit reporting them to the SEC.
There's still due diligence to the stakeholders and stockholders. So, you know, letting people know that, there might be an outage. There might be other things down the line.
Yeah.
It is weird that they're not sharing more.
Maybe they're just taking CISA's playbook, you know? Just tell CISA's
hanging out.
Yeah. Like, you know what? Just tell
something
them this is all they need to know.
Maybe the scope is ever changing, unfortunately. Yeah.
They have a pretty big environment.
Exactly.
No, it's okay. Dev was not connected to prod at all. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I've got a minor fire to deal with. Ralph, Kelly.
Hopefully it's not your house.
And Corey, can you guys just run it for a second? I'll be right back. No, my house is not on fire. So
perfect.
Good.
Woohoo. We get
it's
to have
a
fun
minor
now.
Fire, so it's probably just an electrical override or some fun little thing.
Let's not listen to him. I'm running it now. All right. Get ready.
Yeah. Okay. Wade, let the mustache take the wheel. Yeah. All right. Go.
I honestly wanted to talk about the IC3 report. Did anybody else look at that?
Yeah. Yes. Oops.
What happened?
You're running the show, so why don't you run us through that article?
Yeah.
Great. So the FBI, comes out with an IC3 report every year that talks about pretty much all the financial crimes that are going on and how much is being transferred and how much people are losing. And honestly, I'm also very surprised how well they're doing at actually helping people who've been breached. So right now, the numbers are pretty good, right? So FBI says it reached 880,000 complaints to the FBI, which is 10% higher than last year.
12.5 billion. What is that, like half a missile?
That's so, like, not even anything.
Just wait till you get a little further
down.
That's
the cost of toilets in the Pentagon, right?
Toilet seats.
The best part, so if I usually take these reports and immediately pivot over to like the official PDF, which is pretty good, but there's some good information. They also, this is kind of funny, they have a recovery asset team that they call the RAT. So the Internet Crime Center's recovery asset team, otherwise known as RAT, who was established in 2018, right? So they go actually, if you do a launch a complaint to the FBI, they will actually help you try to get your money back. I believe there is a cutoff. There has to be a certain amount of money, but there is they do talk about two particular cases, one in New York and one in Connecticut, where the person in Connecticut lost $425,000 for a house, which is kind of, it's still a lot, but I don't know what the cutoff is. But they actually got almost all of the money back, which is also impressive. And then further in this, they have a 71% success rate on getting at least some of your money back.
Okay, so a couple of questions that come to mind. Yeah. Does it break down the attacks by category? Because there was that recent Darknet Diaries where he talked about how BEC is like by far the largest category. Is that still the case?
Yes. Yes, by far. So it's tech support, extortion, non-payment, non-delivery, personal data, and then phishing. So if you scroll, it goes into them. Of course, BEC is going to be the biggest one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into the exact numbers a little bit further.
Yeah, BEC is kind of like a catch-all, though, right? Like it's basically like we lost money through means that are somewhat cyber-ish.
And also, like, BEC can also, you could also equivalent to someone personal that's doing business and not necessarily a large organization.
Like, it's BEC, but it could also just be, like, you know, the whole, like, invoicing scams that people are running. It's a lot of, like, fraud and scam stuff. It's not totally breach. Yeah, it's not totally breach-oriented. It's more, like, fraud and scam-oriented, which obviously it's the FBI, so that checks out. But
So BEC scams were $2.9 billion in loss, with a total of 21,489 complaints to the agency for BEC.
That is like, that's crazy.
The other good one was investment fraud that was up, which usually is like around crypto, and that was $4.57 billion. And that one increased 53%, which is probably because of how a lot of crypto is coming up right now, I would imagine. And I think since it's also being a little bit more volatile, if you were to lose Bitcoin at a certain time frame, like technically you lost more money later on. If you catch what I'm putting down a little bit with that, which
it's a security. Its value changes more quickly than US dollars or something.
Ryan, if you bring up page 20 and 21, it's got the like number of complaints on page 20. And then on page 21, it's got the amounts based on those complaints.
Oh, there you go.
Like,
yeah.
So personal data breaches were pretty significant. Like, I guess there's is that advice I should be giving people? If you get your identity stolen, should you be reporting it to the FBI, or what is the reporting threshold there? Is it only if you got a significant chunk of change stolen?
It's more than a chunk of change, right? So they actually go into the acronym of what RAT uses. Let me find it. It's like, and it's almost IC3 like KFC. Page,
their form is fairly straightforward. So like, worst case scenario, have someone fill it out if they got, they so got wait, hurt.
What is
they,
investment?
They got attacked.
Sorry to interrupt, but what is investment? Because it's higher than BEC. Is that like, is that the Sam Bankman-Fried stuff? Does that count?
Right.
Like, does that, is that like, that 4.5 billion counts as the whole,
it could be that, that's why it's such a huge boost because of that one.
I don't know. I'm just curious. I have no idea. I mean, I'm reading this from a non-informed perspective.
So like the RAT team, I actually uses what's called the financial fraud kill chain. And that's how they request, right? Doesn't that sound cool?
They kill them.
They actually, so that's them when they contact all the different
Step
financial
one,
institutions.
Buy iTunes gift cards.
Step two, Step mail two. It.
Looks like it's investment fraud.
Yeah, but I mean,
I know there's an actual particular thing for smaller individuals like, and that aren't like losing hundreds of thousand dollars to report to. And it usually goes through the same around kill chain where they try to call different banks to freeze assets and hopefully transfer your money back in the end. It's some fun stuff. I feel like a business email compromise is just so it's a good payout, right? For a minimal amount of work. You just sit there and read emails until it's like, oh, this one says there's a transfer coming in. Let me sneak in.
You were wondering if it was cryptocurrency. It looks like bottom of page 12, it talks about the related publications. A lot of it is cryptocurrency investment scams and schemes. Yep.
Could be that. Crypto. We'll see. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more analysis of this report as time goes on.
But my NFTs are safe.
Yeah, but they did lose $4.5 billion in value, just as a heads up.
That's fine.
Yeah, the thing we're not saying about all of this is that, yeah, there's been more crimes and people are reporting them. This FBI report used to be a part of my SANS class for many, many years. We would show it. And a lot of people in the last, 7 to 8 years, didn't even realize that they could report a crime to the FBI. Sometimes victims would say nothing because they were too embarrassed, or they would say something to their local city government or county government, you know, to file it with the police. They don't necessarily have the time to do that. So I see positives in this, that citizens are reporting crimes to the FBI. Maybe they weren't even aware they could do that before.
Mm-hmm. One interesting part with BECs is usually you don't know it until it's too late, right? Mm-hmm. You have to understand that you transferred it right then. It's usually those first 48 hours are essential.
But yeah.
Go ahead, Corey.
Unlike missing persons, which this is, you know, fake too, but like, it's interesting, people's perception, right? Report it immediately. It couldn't hurt. Worst case scenario, it's in something you submit and then never hear back. But best case scenario is the rats go and get $400,000 back for you.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, you know, the whole follow the money thing is such a, you know, everyone was like, cryptocurrency is going to enable all this fraud and scams. Turns out it's actually way easier to track now. It's literally, it's like
you left
public.
Your address.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you know how to read the ledger,
yeah,
then it's really,
I mean,
easy.
I know there's mixers and stuff, but anyway.
Yeah.
All right. New article. No more BECs. Let's talk about,
can we talk about the QNAP?
Yeah, we can talk about the QNAP. There's a couple of like, everyone should pay attention to this real quick. There's, for those that have their QNAP device on the internet, first of all,
do you listen
to this show? This is like the this is like the fifth time. Second of all, go patch. Third of all, I'm just going to be my own SZA right now and just say emergency directive. Whatever NAS you have on the internet, don't have it on the internet. And I know it's probably not your fault. It probably has universal plug and play and it opened up those ports for convenience reasons.
Yes.
But please make sure that you aren't part of this botnet because I don't want to be getting those emails and neither do you.
So like, all right. So conceptually, here's the reason why these are great targets, right? It's because they automatically have these, they'll open up ports automatically. But the bigger thing is they have these services that are designed to be self-hosted, right? So you can have your photos all here.
Which self-hosted, for those not in the loop, self-hosted means not patched.
Yeah. Wow. That is interesting. But
it means self-managed too.
Yes. Yeah. Self-managed. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, you don't want to pay for Google Photos and you want to host your own photos thing, right? But the bigger thing here is that a lot of times these NASs will open up a web administrative interface, and that's how you set them up, right? And then that'll be exposed to the internet as well. And they kind of really have a horrible reputation for another big public vulnerability with your NAS or other kind of you know, appliance, right? QNAP being one. Synology has had some as well. These ones are pretty critical. And why it's a great target is because these are great for ransomware, okay? As soon as you access these systems, they obviously have a ton of files on them. That's really their whole purpose in life, is to store a bunch of data. And, you know, they will use, you know, ransomware, encrypt them, and try to, you know, capitalize on that vulnerability. So
I wonder if
are we telling people that their file servers should not be open to the internet?
Yeah. Yes.
Is this 2005?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So it's fun, because the other thing that is an impact is these are pretty powerful servers with a lot of storage. Great for staging things, right?
Yes.
I wonder if there's some type of weird, like, convenience. Like, most NASs are going to be at least used by somewhat technical people. Like, it's just enough to get you into trouble, sure. I would think,
yes,
right?
Yes, I agree.
No, you don't think...
There's a lot of YouTubers out there.
I don't know. Yeah, but so it's just technical enough to use it, but not to set it up properly.
Okay.
I don't think it's that. I think here's what you do. You go to Best Buy and you say, I need to make a backup of my computer. And instead of telling you to just subscribe to some cloud service, they say, oh, well, I can make money if you buy this right now. And then they sell you this QNAP device and you're like, cool, now I can back up my computer. I'm safe. And then you plug this in, put it in your garage or your like under your desk, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Now it's gone from your like awareness. You're not patching it. You're not like, it's just, it. You back up your computer to it. You didn't even know it was on the internet. Like, that's my theory. Because the people who are like watching YouTubes about NAS, first of all, they're probably using TrueNAS or Unraid or something that is more heavy. Like, no one is telling people to go buy QNAP devices. They're like, no, you got to have ECC memory, bro. But basically, like, that's my perspective, is people are ending up with these products without really knowing like even what a NAS is. It's just, I need to back up my photos and stuff. Here's what we sold you.
So a lot of people are hitting the comments up too right now, and they're kind of saying like the general gist is that you can secure these things properly. Like, you can put some layers in place.
Oh, just like anything else. Yeah.
This from happening. And I think that we should all kind of step back. And like QNAP and, you know, NASs are easy to kind of attack because, you know, they don't necessarily have a great history of like security inside their operating systems. But in general, even at your large company that or bigger products, right, that supposedly have good security, you should still put layers in place so that something's really not publicly open on the internet, especially any kind of administrative panels. It doesn't matter, right? Right now, today, that administrative panel may be safe. There may be no known vulnerabilities, but tomorrow that can change, and then you can quickly... And you, whether you're a company or an individual, can't keep up, right?
Totally. It's just like the Soho stuff.
It's like the Soho stuff
we talked about last week with the routers. Like, do you know how to update your Xfinity gateway? I don't. I mean, no one knows how to do that.
After this, I immediately went to go look to see if I could update mine. And I've realized I don't have the password to it. And I'm like, oh my God.
Hold on. Let me look on breach forums.
But at the same time, you're at least in the US, your router... like firewall is going to, like, if you can't set it up for that port to be open, is QNAS going to set itself up to reach through your
I mean, that's the thing, universal plug and play, super great for those playing Xbox Live, but kind of sucks for people with QNAP NASs. The other thing that people are mentioning in the comments, which I want to call out, which is awesome, is someone said that QNAP is more popular in small and medium businesses than you might think, which I get that. Like, I've seen some, they do have some higher end, larger storage arrays. So that definitely is probably a factor too. The same scenario I talked about is you're a law firm or a dentist or someone. You need pretty decent like storage and backup capabilities, but you don't have enough of a budget to have a dedicated IT person. So either the one guy that's your cousin and runs it, or you have like outsourced support. Like, it's that ecosystem should not be overlooked. It's not just home users, right?
Yeah. I hate being that cousin. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Because this is, I mean, you're right. It is the solution for those small businesses. So they're not buying a whole file server.
Yeah. This would, or paying for cloud, because some of them, you know, if you're a lawyer with like, oh, we did discovery last week and we have, you know, 2.5 terabytes of files. Well, that gets expensive really quick, right? So
I mean, it gets really expensive. I mean, shoot, go look up NetApp or EMC, right? Those things are
or Pure Storage.
Oh my god, Pure Storage arrays like, suck your soul of money. It's ridiculous. But
Ralph, don't you buy all your drives from like China or something like that?
Yes,
like
that's exactly where I get
it. Dude, that's where drives are made. Anyway,
so as somebody that in their past, like within the last less than 15 years ago, mid 2000s, was working with all these SMBs, I heard everybody going ahead. And nowadays it's QNAP or this or that. Back then it was, oh, don't use this, don't use that. It's crud, it's crap. How do you go ahead and make that balance for somebody in an SMB environment and teach them how to secure stuff that we think might be not so good, but is what's affordable for that level of thing?
Because well, I mean, see,
there's more SMBs out there than there is small than there is large business.
But they're asking the question, which already means that they're a unicorn, right? Like if an SMB is like, seriously, what type of NAS device or what type of router should I be using? It's like, well,
did you read John's article?
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're not wrong. I mean, what I say is, and this is exactly what I said about Soho routers. I think manufacturers need to sort of differentiate themselves similar to like how Squarespace does. What do they say on every single Squarespace ad? Nothing to patch, nothing to update, nothing to upgrade. Like, that's basically where we're going is like QNAP, Synology, these companies that are targeting the small and medium business, they need to be saying our devices auto update themselves. So you'll always have the most up-to-date firmware. That like needs to be in their marketing pitch. Because if I'm running a law firm or a dentist office or whatever, I'm going to be looking for something that I don't have to mess with, but also it won't get hacked and disclose all my client records or whatever. So,
do
like,
we get sponsored by Squarespace?
Yeah,
this has been sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, we have a class on how to be Black Hills information security.
No, that's a good point. I like that. I like the auto update stuff. I think that is
like it's
good,
just gotta be
an
idiot
proof sticker. Yeah. How do we do like an ER, like a one of those brandings where you get like a sticker put on your product if you're like this cool, right? Or if you like get like if you have a restaurant
yes.
That
like housekeeping secure choice.
What would be the things that we'd put into that? Like if you were going to buy a device and you're going to Best Buy and we were going to put a sticker on it, I would say auto updating.
Auto updating's got to be on there.
No hard coded passwords, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or at least I would say the other one, John, the other one that's so okay. I don't think you can actually get this specific. I think there's basically if there's two things. Number one, auto update. Number two, have you gotten a pen test or something to that effect?
Yeah. So this organization
like, that's
is actively going through the process of revisioning
UL does all kinds of different testing.
Yeah.
And I've been part of a couple of different groups. They're like, why doesn't UL do like source code analysis testing, like a basic level of security testing before they give the UL approval? So, and they get
or just
listed?
Something. Yeah. It should be something like that. It should be like, number one, it auto updates. Number two, we have gotten a security or at least auditor compliance. Like, it doesn't have to be a full-blown pen test. It can just be like someone like Kelly looked at our program and said, you have huge gaps and we fix them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that.
Here's the most interesting part about the QNAP thing, and this goes back to like just doing tests. One of the vulnerabilities is SQLi. How long has this been on like the OWASP top 10, dude?
What are you talking about? SQLi, hey, what's that?
Ralph, I've got to call out Sloth Boy. I've got to call out Sloth Boy again because he's on fire. He said it just needs a sticker that says military grade encryption. And I don't know if you've seen that meme.
Yeah,
for those who don't know, they're like,
yes.
And for those that know, they're like,
you know, well, the ransomware will use military grade encryption. That's for sure.
It will absolutely use the best encryption 100%. Known to man, Elliptic Curve.
There is some of this already, though.
It won't brick itself. These vulnerabilities aren't going to brick themselves here when the manufacturer dies. You know.
So wait, what is there, Kelly? Sorry.
Put a positive spin on it, remember there was an executive order back in 2022 that said if you're an IoT device, you do have to have certain technical specifications. So perhaps we need to expand that executive order or legislation to include not just IoT devices, but Soho devices.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, is what everyone's describing here is legislation that like we all wish was in place and also would hate to see in place.
But
who's going to be in charge of it? And
True.
what like Someone's going to have to go and certify that all these things are done.
I seriously think at this point we're reaching a point where it can be marketing, not legislation. It can be like UL is a great example. I have it.
Has anyone listened to 99% podcast? So good podcast. Fine. They did one on the stickers all over California where they say may contain chemicals that cause cancer. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Alert fatigue.
Alert fatigue. I was like going through security the whole time I was listening. But anyways, the way that works out is anybody can take a product, and if they find chemicals that may contain cancer and they don't have that, you can sue them. So outsources it to the community or to the actual user. Imagine if we did that to products. If we
so we just need California. So we don't need. The federal
California,
government.
No, hackable. Any laws that
can you just like Florida? Make sure that that happens.
Yeah. Oh my God! The what is
Russians
it?
Inside.
Devices can only be bought in Florida or in California.
Prop 1337. That's got to be it. There we go.
Oh, Prop 1337. It's like those. You can get sued if you didn't have a pen test from the state of government. You know, state of California, and then like there's like one pen tester for the whole state, and he's like backlogged for 50 years or whatever. All right, let's move on. I actually put an article. I'm gonna like drive this ship into the wall.
Oh man, here we go.
The article about basically, I'm kind of a car person, not so much anymore, but I used to be. And basically, automakers, if you enable certain things in your car, just share your data with data brokers, and then insurance companies purchase your data from data brokers and jack up your insurance rates if you're a quote unquote unsafe driver.
Oh God.
And So the privacy concerns of this are there. But the funniest thing from my perspective is I have a lot of friends that do like racetrack driving, and there's like no way that the car, like, it's just hilarious to imagine the data report from like a racetrack. It's like unsafe stop events 990.
What I want to do is do what they did in, I think it was the second Jackass Part 2, where Johnny Knoxville rented a car and then took it to a crash derby, like knocked all the windows out, got a cage set up to it, and then just demolished the car. And then returned it. I would like to get one of those cars that has that insurance safe driver score and then take it to a demolition derby and just destroy it and then argue with your insurance company and be like, what do you mean? I don't know. It said that all the airbags were deployed multiple times, sir. Like, I don't
know
what you're talking about.
Did you replace the airbags?
I'm going to send you a picture of the car once. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the... Like from a consumer privacy perspective, the reason I wanted to talk about it on the news is because these are things that when the people, if you look at what they actually agreed to, so essentially this is primarily targeting Chevrolet cars, and they basically agreed to their smart driver program or whatever it's called. It's not like it said anywhere, hey, just a warning, we're going to disclose this data to your insurance provider. It was more like, do you want to know if you're if you're a safe driver or if you're not? Like, it's totally something at the vehicle level. But then it's just interesting to think of when you agree to something at the vehicle level, then there's the, step where now it's not just the vehicle. It's getting reported to LexisNexis. It's getting reported to Chevrolet, anonymized, or fake anonymized. The other big thing from my perspective, Kelly, I was curious, how is this legal to just, I thought these kinds of data brokers have to like anonymize the data. Like, how can the insurance provider the insurance provider can just say, hey, I want to purchase data on, Corey. Like, I didn't know that was legal.
It doesn't, it's not anonymized. It says provided straight through LexisNexis.
Right. How is that legal? I guess I agreed to it. I agreed to it, but.
Kelly, Kelly, please make us feel better.
I wish I could.
God damn it.
Oh,
I don't think they did anything illegal. It's bad. It's horrible. But that's LexisNexis business is buying data. So I don't remember ever signing anything when I bought a car saying don't share my data.
Well, yeah. I guess my one question is
can't repeat here.
I guess maybe it's just you're right. I mean, I guess there's nothing.
I know about that. There was an insurance company that had a dongle you plugged in the OBD2 sensor, right? And then
that's opt-in. This isn't opt-in. This is like
they stopped doing that.
They did that.
It was good.
I don't know. I guess we need someone to break this data. maybe all my racetrack friends will break the data because it'll be like, we've generated 390 stop events in the last 10 minutes. Your insurance rates are now $3 million per day or whatever.
We go to the junkyard, we buy all the computers, and we just flood Lexus Nexus with fake data.
We put them in centrifuges.
Oh my God. That is such a good idea. Okay, that's the solution. We junkyard, we buy a bunch of OnStar subscriptions, and we just generate ridiculous... Like, John Smith, here's your insurance estimate based on your driving habits. $3 million a day.
Yeah, what do they say if you can't change the data, poison the well?
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy.
Poison the well.
Yeah, I guess if you drive a Chevy, maybe...
Slothboy makes a good comment here. What happens if you buy a used car from someone? You don't sign anything from the car manufacturer.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, that's another factor. There's all
kinds of bad things with this.
Yeah, and also, it's funny. Imagine selling your car to someone, and then your insurance provider's like, your car has been in an accident. You're like, no, it hasn't. They're like, yes, it has. We talked to LexisNexis. You know,
actually, that's happened. Well, it wasn't not LexisNexis, but no, I did have an insurance company reach out to me, and they're like, yeah, your car has gotten into an accident. I'm like, I don't own that car. I haven't paid you on that car for like a year, and you're planning on raising my rates for it. So I had something similar, not exact, but this is also one of those things where you talk to people, and they're like, I'm more about the government spying on me. And it's like, and then they walk around with their Android device, you know, and, you know, they drive a John Deere tractor. It's like,
Lexus
dystopian
Nexus
bullshit that we're all worried about, that we read books when we were allowed to read such books in middle school about dystopias. When we were reading those books, we're like, wow, that'd be really bad if the government ever did that. All of that shit is happening right now. And the spoiler is, it's not the effing government that's doing it to us. It's like Google, it's Apple, it's our insurance companies, it's all of this other stuff.
No, it's the 19-year-olds who left the government, did startups, and now they run LexisNexis.
Oh my God, you make it even worse. Kelly, please bring us back to something positive, please.
Yeah, well, could we end on a better note?
Oh, she's just going to say you're all effed, basically.
No, I think you mentioned middle school. I went to junior high, so I think I'm okay.
I don't think that's funny. I went to a college preparatory school.
Oh, well, aren't you fancy?
Well, they're the same thing.
This
it's just
the weirdest
I think
goddamn flex we've ever had on the show.
Okay, so those of you who don't know,
anyone not go to middle school, because now I'm just impressed if that's possible.
Yeah, I just skipped over it. I don't know.
It's a generation thing. If you're a certain age, you went to junior high. If you're younger than that age, you went to middle school.
I
see. I get it now.
Like I said, it's a weird flex, and you're right, Corey. You drove us straight into a wall. Thank you. well done.
I don't know.
That is don't worry, our insurance rates
the insurance
will
company.
Yes, insurance our insurance rates will all be going up now. You're all welcome.
We can
fix this. Maybe the company that we have our insurance through will hire us for a pen test, and we can make that one of the goals. I'm joking. BHIS would never do that, just to be completely clear. However, I do have a story of a company that did something similar. There was once a company that did a pen test for a religious group, and they made one of the pen testers a bishop in that organization. It did not go over well.
That organization.
So.
Like, so, how far do they go in
that's
that?
That's the line. No, okay, that's the line.
Mostly, Bishop. I just have your thing has opened up so many questions for you. Number one, what powers do I have as a bishop? Is that a group in Active Directory? Do I have like, read laps? Like, why can bishops read laps?
That allows you to absolve sins. That sounds fun.
Do they have a SaaS application?
Are they using Jira for
sins? Was this a web app contest?
Is a bishop like a scrum master and they're using Jira for all the sins and you can just close out all your own tickets? Is that how
it works? Yes, you can. Next question.
all your Excel spreadsheet. Go ahead and be diagonal. Everything has to be diagonal if you've been ordained a bishop.
Mike. Yes, that's true as well. Excellent. All moves. No, that's too direct to Active Directory. We've got to go diagonally to this server.
Wait, maybe if I'm a bishop, I can revive.
SU God. They get SU God.
No, I can revive permission. Accounts from the dead. I can, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's Easter.
No, that's a cleric. Sorry. That's not a
necromancer.
All right, I'm
that's Jesus.
It.
That's the Jesus group.
All right, that's it. Thank you, everybody, for attending another horrible. Why are you listening to this show? This is horrible. If you thought this show was horrible, you should take a few moments and like and subscribe below. Thank you so much. You're a horrible human being for listening to the show.
Oh, I gotta...
And we're all bad people for creating it. Also, we do pen testing at Black Hills Information. We'll see you later.
I got a quick plug.
Oh, Bates got something else.
B-side San Diego. B-side San Diego's on March 30th. White Cyber Duck is actually talking. He is the real White Cyber Duck.
It's on March 30th, the Saturday. Pen tester, I hear.
It should be very fun. Yeah. There's going to be an open bar party.
Is there going to be an aircraft carrier?
No. There will be tacos.
Okay, you need to get us back out there next year, there. Wade, and we'll bring the aircraft carrier with us. Does that sound like a plan?
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, we just bought one on eBay.
We just got one on eBay, or we can rent it. Right,
it's nuclear though, so we're still working on it.
All right, everybody, thank you so much. Let's bring out the crooked finger. We're done here.